Just a little request for prayer. My wife and I are going to Winnipeg on Tuesday. I don't know if my daughters would be happy for me joking that way, but anyways, our daughter's expecting a baby. Well, she's actually overdue, so we're looking forward to seeing a new arrival, and that'll warm the cold a whole lot. So anyways, we're excited to go. We have begun a new series. Actually, Dave started us off last week, a new series called Devoted. It's based on Acts 2:42-47. So let's read that at this time. Acts 2:42-47. And you'll see the word right away. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Pastor Dave spoke last week about how these practices shape the character and the life of the church, this teaching and fellowshipping and breaking bread and praying and generosity. It binded the community. And these followers of Jesus were devoted to these practices. Dave highlighted the teaching of the gospel, the word of God is central to this community, saying we tend to forget who God is. And it's why we need to gather again and we need to be in scripture all the time to remember yet again what the point of this life is all about and a God who leads us in it. Scripture shapes our community of faith. It's our story. And we hear all these other stories all the time and we need to be reminded again and again. No, we live by another story. The true story. And today I'd like to continue looking at this devoted community. I don't know if you've noticed, but over the past year, we've had just a few infant baptisms. There's been a lot. Yeah, those of you laughing, you know there's a lot of kids being born in this place. And we have the parents' promise in that baptism to raise up their child in a community of faith. And in turn, then we always get you all to stand up, and the community promises to embrace that child and play a supportive role in their lives. And it's a beautiful thing that this whole raising of children, yes, it's mainly the parents, but we as a community support that. And we know that they're going to need support. So why would we think, and I was thinking about this, why would we think it'd be any different in our own journey as adults? Why would we think we don't need that kind of support? Because the fact is, we all continually need to develop in our faith. No one has utterly arrived. We all need somebody alongside. And yet, and here's that other story again, yet we live in a culture that values self-sufficiency and independence. And I think we get caught up in the trap of tending to live out our faith journey as if it's essentially our own as individuals. And so we gather now and then, hopefully most Sundays, but most of our lives, most of our time, we live these independent lives and we don't need community. That's not what's happening here in Acts 2. Take note, they're gathering regularly, not just on the Sunday, on the Sabbath. They are gathering actually daily. They're sharing meals, they're studying scripture, they're praying, sharing resources, worshiping, reaching out, seeing God's power at work around them. And then in verse 42 it says, they were devoted to the teaching of the scripture, and then this, and to fellowship. And I'd like to talk this morning a little bit about that whole idea. What is this idea of fellowship? I don't know what connotations you have of the word fellowship. But for me, growing up in a church, the word fellowship basically meant having coffee after church and maybe the odd potluck. And so when I read that verse, I said, okay, they're teaching, and then they went and had coffee together. Nothing wrong, by the way, with gathering to have coffee and, you know, having potlucks and all that. I mean, truly, one of my favorite times Sunday mornings is the time of coffee, and I love to connect, especially with people who are new to our community, and just get to know them a little bit. So it is a beautiful moment. It's such an important part of being a community, this socializing, this over meals, over coffee. But I think that picture does limit the word fellowship. Anyone here a fan of J.R.R. Tolkien? There we go. We should start a club. I'm a huge fan of Tolkien. Lord of the Rings, right? You know, best book ever, aside from the Bible. Don't get me wrong. And one book in the trilogy is called Fellowship of the Ring. And there's that word. In that story, the ring of power must be destroyed for the good of the world. And a group of dwarves, elves, and people commit to seeing this essential task done. They commit, you might say, they devoted themselves to this profound mission to save the world. That's fellowship. That's what we're doing. We are a fellowship of the King. And we gather together and we support each other and we're involved in this mission to save the world. That's a little bigger than just having coffee. Although that's part of it. That's part of it. And that, I love that picture. We are on this incredible journey together for the good of the world. And we join with Christ in this mission that brings full orb, lived out salvation to the world around us, to the community around us. And right from the beginning, we find the early Christians gathering to share with each other the amazing, and I'm going to add this, the bewildering experience of a risen Christ. And you picture this. He was their rabbi. Now he's their risen Savior. And they had to wrap their heads around that. I find it interesting. There's a common theme with all the stories after the resurrection. There's a common theme about the disciples. They discover Jesus is alive, and they immediately gather together. You see this when the women see Jesus at the tomb risen, and right away they're sent to be in community. You see it in the upper room. You know, they gather together. On the road to Emmaus, they meet Jesus on the way to Emmaus. They think Jesus is crucified, but he is risen. They kind of get it. They run back to Jerusalem to gather. To talk about what it means. I don't know about you, but we can be a little flippant with our understanding of what it means to serve a risen Christ. Oh yeah, Christ is risen. No, think about it. Ponder that thought. What does that actually mean? How does that impact the way we live? How do you even begin to understand that? And they gather together to struggle, to encourage, to rejoice, to ponder, to support. Right away in the upper room there, they're dealing with the new reality of the risen Christ. And Thomas doubts, but he doubts in community. He doubts in the right place. Is that me? Right? I love that Thomas does his doubting in community. That's why we gather. You know, sometimes I'm strong and somebody else is weak and I support them. Sometimes I'm weak and I need the support of somebody else. That is fellowship. I read this quote. The resurrection is not merely a fact to be believed, but an experience to be shared. Sometimes I think we turn it into a fact to be believed, which it is. But I love the idea that it's an experience to be shared. And I want to hear your experience of the risen Christ, and I hope you want to hear my experience of the risen Christ. And sometimes that experience for me is going to be, well, I have my doubts, I'm struggling, and then I need you to hear your story. And then your story props me up yet again, and hopefully I can do the same for you. Because notice when they gather in community, Christ shows up. Christ is there. Faith flourishes in community, in fellowship. Henry Nouwen, a wonderful writer, says, Christian community is the place where we keep the flame of hope alive among us. That is how we dare to say God is a God of love when we also see death and destruction and agony all around us. We say it together. We affirm it in each other. There's times when you're going through a dark place. People who have lost loved ones, people who are struggling relationally. You're in a dark, hard place. And you need the community around you to say, it's okay, Christ is still risen. It's okay, we're going to see you through this together. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but we walk together in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. Faith is not always easy. My faith needs you. It really does. I don't just say that flippantly. My faith needs you. It takes real fellowship to hold on to the faith that God is working to bring grace and peace and mercy and love to every life in the midst of a world where there's so much brokenness in us and around us. And this journey doesn't go well when we go it alone. Faith thrives in fellowship. I need to be in community. I don't do well by myself. Our passage, Acts 2, it comes to us just after Pentecost. Obviously, the coming of the Holy Spirit. God is empowering and dwelling with us. He's journeying with us, or rather, we're journeying with Him as we go out into the world with the good news of the gospel. And the power of the Spirit is evident among this group of believers. Thousands come to belief. Imagine that. There's like 150 or so, and then suddenly there's 3,000 that one day, and now we have to deal with all this newness, all these baby believers. And what did they do? Well, they gathered. They gathered around God's Word, around sharing meals, around praying, around witnessing God at work among them, fellowshipping, painting a picture of what God wants among them and us. And this idea of such a deep fellowship, such deep community, simultaneously, and let me say this, attracts us and likely repels us. We long, deep down inside, for the life-affirming benefits of deep community and deep fellowship. We long to be part of God's profound mission. But, and maybe you can relate to this, there's a part of us that resists the demands that such community makes. We read this passage, and how you're gathering daily, and all that, and all sharing all their stuff, and we say, well, I don't know about that. I'm pressed for time. I'm not sure I want that level of intimacy and accountability. I don't know if I want to give up that much of my life. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand here because that might be awkward, but how many of you long to be deeply known, like everything about you? I don't want all of you to know everything about me. I'm pretty transparent, but yeah, we'll just leave it at that. We can dismiss this passage as being too much. And at the same time, yearn deeply for that kind of deep longing. And you got this thing going on, right? I get scared with all that, and at the same time, I really want all that. I stay away from that. I'm drawn to it, and you battle with yourself. I get that. But I want the depth of community. I want the depth of fellowship. And this snapshot of the early church shows what God's people are capable of in the power of the Holy Spirit because of the risen Christ. This is beautiful community. But when we read, and before you get, this is all, you know, this community, we can idealize it in a sense. When we read the rest of Acts, we do see the broken life creeping into this picture as well. You know, in the passage we read about how they had favor with all those around them. We said, well, that's awesome. You know, everybody saw their love, but it's not long and persecution has come. And they're being driven along. Many of them fleeing because of the persecution. There's tremendous generosity in this church, but pretty soon we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And where they kind of defraud the church to a degree and drop dead during the service. And that must have been one crazy service. I don't even know what to think about that. And this incredible unity in Christ involves a lot of divisiveness as well. And they're arguing about meals and what you can eat, what you can't eat, and circumcision and all this other stuff and divisions. And the Spirit is deeply at work, but so is self-centeredness and sin. But we rejoice with the fact that Christ has overcome that. And we gather to, as we did already today, repent of our brokenness while celebrating Christ's saving grace. And we remind each other, in the midst of the brokenness, that we are in Christ. We are in Christ. In Acts 2 here, we have, I like to give a snapshot of God's wonderful intent for his church. Unity displays the reign of the resurrection Christ. Our fellowship can display the resurrection power at work. And we recall how God's desire for in the Old Testament for his people was that they would display what it is to be in God, in God the Father, and people, nations around would take note and say, oh yeah, we want that too. That was God's intent already in the Old Testament. Display my goodness and power so others may gather too. It's interesting, you know, they will know we are Christians by our love, our fellowship. Oh, if that was always true of the church. Unity, a picture that draws others to Christ. And this passage holds out God's hope for us to live in that community where justice and generosity are practiced, where truth is celebrated, surrender and courage, a community where the Spirit empowers us to worship and love as God desires, a community where we don't just believe in the resurrection, we live it out together. And the Spirit enables us to put away old ways of relating and embrace the ways of Jesus. Living out grace and truth in our communities, in our marriages, in our friendships, in our families, united by the power of the Holy Spirit who bridges differences. Because even with this kind of fellowship, there will be differences. Fellowship doesn't mean the absence of differences. That's like saying marriage is the absence of differences. Anyone relate to a marriage that has no differences here? Because I'd love to hear your story. We won't always agree with each other and everything. We won't always even agree on how we read Scripture sometimes. That's never been divisive in churches. But we are in community, in Christ, and He is the heart of our fellowship. What is that? I'm going to show you another snapshot of what this community looks like. I'm going to read Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Here's a beautiful picture Paul paints. And he says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, yeah, with the differences, but united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, not absolute agreement on everything, like-minded, having the same love, one Spirit, one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And that's what we're after. In our passage in Acts, we see a community together, teaching, eating, praying. And we see the power of the Spirit at work. We see the acts of generosity and care. We hear the voices of fellowship. We hear the prayers. We hear the awe, the worship, devoting themselves to living out the unity of the risen Christ. But it isn't perfect. It's a growing church, learning to trust in the power of the Spirit, learning to submit to God's word, learning to walk together in spite of differences. I'm leaving. No. I can't get along with you. One of my favorite verses, Matthew 18. Look at it with me. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. So out of Matthew 18 is a big passage on conflict management. And then we have this. Could very likely be that this is the two or three are gathering, you need a two or three witnesses, that they're gathering over a difference. They're gathering over a struggle. Let me say this. In the moments where we struggle, where we get together over even a difference, Jesus says, I'm present. And I'm hearing this. Fellowship and conflict are going to be together sometimes. Just because we have a difference doesn't mean we don't have fellowship. If we all have to agree on everything, we're never going to have real fellowship. It's just not going to happen. But our unity is in Christ. And Christ is even in those moments of difference. Fellowship involves ups and downs. It is the journey together. Too many times, even in Christian communities, there's an inability to handle confrontations well. And I've heard, and you probably have too, many stories where people have been hurt by churches. Which is sad. But really not unexpected. Anybody here who thinks that it's always going to be awesome here at Hope are mostly right. But the truth is, there will be times somebody hurts your feelings. Or you'll hear something you didn't particularly like. Or something will happen. You know, when I look at churches and all the splits and all the denominations, and all the messiness of relationships in churches, I don't think we've done well with dealing with differences, dealing with confrontation, seeing it as an opportunity to actually grow in fellowship. I mean, let's be honest. Those who have great marriages have learned to confront well, reasonably well. My wife and I look at the history of how we used to fight when we were first married to where we are today. We're way better at fighting now. Way better. Right? Because, yeah, you learn. I had to learn very quickly that sarcasm wasn't a good approach. And we have to learn that together. I have to hear you. If I differ with you, I still have to hear you. Maybe we don't even agree when all is said and done. But we realize we have unity in Christ. And we go, so therefore I travel with you. This idea of, oh, I don't agree with you. I'm done. I don't get that. That's not fellowship. That's not fellowship. Conflict's part of fellowship. Remember, you live in the power of the resurrected Christ. Remember, you live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you need to depend on Him for your strength, not your own. Trust that power that transcends your self-centeredness. What do you mean, my self-centeredness? Your self-centeredness. My self-centeredness. And then the church will be this place where we humbly walk together with other people who have flaws just like us. You are a very unfortunate person if you have no one to help you with your flaws and imperfections. Our unity is in Christ. Our fellowship is in Him. Look at 1 John 1:7, where we read, if we walk in the light, as He, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Isn't that fascinating? If I walk in the light of Christ, somehow that enhances my fellowship with you, with my wife, with my friends. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Oh, there's our common ground. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into, here we go, the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is our fellowship. He is the heart of it. Fellowship is not something that we try to fit into our lives. It's not an event. We should probably have never, ever named a part of our building the Fellowship Hall. As if it's a place. Oh, fellowship time. Oh, not fellowship time. Fellowship is a way of living. It is the way of Jesus. And it's founded in the power of the Holy Spirit. And take note, in the title of our series, the followers in Acts 2 are devoted to it. It requires devotion. It requires tons of commitment, because it's not always natural to us. Authentic fellowship is hard work, but it's worth it. And when you experience it, it's a little bit of heaven on earth. The kingdom has come. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right among us here. Jesus at the heart of our fellowship. Let's devote ourselves to following Him together. And let us be a people who belong not to the fellowship of the ring, but the fellowship of the Son. Let's pray.